Thanks for joining Walt and me today. My name is Brenda McCord. Each week, we look forward to sharing lessons from God's Word. This podcast, Walk with God, is part of our ministry, Discover God's Truth. We invite you to visit the website and subscribe at discovergodstruth.org, where you can grow and be encouraged in your personal walk with the Lord. We appreciate the outreach ministry of theawakeningworldwide.com. Walt and I welcome you, and we are glad you're listening to Walk with God. You know, it's our desire to encourage you in God's Word throughout the week. That's why we are teaching through various books in the Bible. We've been doing this for 3 years now, and we're excited to know that we have listeners in 61 countries. And that is God, who is just allowing people to find this podcast and listen. So thank you. We also would love for you to subscribe to discovergodstruth.org. And the link is in our show notes below. We'd love to have you join us. Well, let's continue our study in the book of 1 Peter. There are 5 chapters in this book, and today we're going to finish chapter 4. You know, Peter is writing and he's sharing exhortations. He's sharing explanations concerning, you know, a word we don't really like, suffering. Suffering for the name of Christ. And this word suffering and its derivatives are used 21 times in this epistle.
And, you know, Peter wants his readers, he wants them to hear this. He wants them to understand that this is something they're going to have to deal with. But he also wants us to understand that that's something that we might have to deal with too. As we claim the name of Jesus Christ and as we seek to walk with him, there's times that because of that, we're going to suffer for Christ. And Peter says that's not only possible, that can be beneficial, which we don't want to hear.
Exactly. And today as we begin, we're going to start in verse 12 here in chapter 4. And interesting, it begins, beloved. Peter's writing, beloved. This can also be translated, dear friends. In other words, Peter cares about his audience. These people mean something to him, and he wants them, as it is, to be armed for the battle that they're facing. He says, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though something strange was happening to you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that at the revelation of his glory, you may also rejoice and be overjoyed. So Peter's saying, friends, I care about you. You are precious to me, but don't be surprised that you're going to face tough stuff. You know, it's going to be fiery. There is going to be testing and suffering, and we're going to see that as we continue through and finish chapter 14. But it's interesting in verse 13, to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, here's the first of 3 times in this verse, keep on rejoicing. Keep on rejoicing. You're suffering. Peter says, keep on rejoicing, that you may also rejoice and be overjoyed. You know, we often view suffering and hardship and persecution as strange and abnormal. We're uncomfortable. It doesn't feel good. We're in pain. We are hurting when we are in these kinds of situations. But we should not be surprised that we do suffer. We quickly will become discouraged when we face hard times, right? We withdraw, we get sad, just lots of different emotions. We can feel anger. Sometimes we feel like God has turned against us. But Peter says it's normal to suffer as a Christian. We should expect persecution, hard things, trials, and suffering in our life. Paul also writes over in 2 Timothy 3:12, everyone who desires to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Wow, There's Paul writing this. Same message. These two authors are going back and forth. They want us to know and to understand. And so the hard truth here is that it is a privilege to share in Christ's sufferings. There should be great rejoicing as we share in the rejection and reproach that Jesus Christ experienced, the mocking and scorn that he endured. Even John in his gospel, chapter 15, verse 18, he says these words from Jesus, John penned, "They hated me, they will hate you."
You know, Brenda, we were thinking about this and talking. Almost every New Testament epistle writer talks about suffering and talks about hardship that is going to be there for the follower of Christ. And I even think of James and Jude, half-brothers of Jesus, both of whom they caused him to suffer. They were not followers until after the resurrected Lord appeared to the witnesses and to the apostles. Well, continuing on in this chapter, verses 14 to 16, "If you are insulted or reviled, some translations say, for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. Make sure that none of you suffers as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or a troublesome meddler. But if anyone suffers as a Christian, he is not to be ashamed, but is to glorify God in this name." Suffering as a Christian, God says the Spirit, the third member of the Trinity, is involved here because he already indwells the followers of Christ. And this indwelling Holy Spirit, here called the Spirit of glory, is part of the glorification process that's taking place in our lives each day. There's a time when we trust Christ that he forgives our sin, and he begins that process of sanctification that eventually will lead to glorification when we're with him. But that's an ongoing process, and this Peter is saying, and God's going to use hardship in our life. God's going to use suffering in our life to advance this process. You know, Brenda, this isn't how most of us think, but it should be. This should not surprise us. Jesus spoke these words to Peter, really, at the very beginning of his ministry. He said this in Matthew chapter 5, "Blessed are you when others revile you." See, there's that word, revile you, "and they persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account." That's the key. It's false on my account. Matthew 5:12 goes on to say this, "Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For they persecuted the prophets who were before you." When we are suffering, when we are reviled because of the name of the Lord, that is something we join in with the prophets. And the writer of Hebrews, he wants to think deeply about this topic. He says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3, "For consider him," think deeply about him, Jesus, "who endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you, when you experience hostility, will not grow weary and lose heart." And then down in verse 11, he says this, "All discipline, all suffering, our struggle for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who've been trained by it, afterwards, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness." Over and over and over, we see the New Testament writers saying, "This, there's going to be difficulty in this life." And I love this in 2 Corinthians. The Apostle Paul is writing to the Corinthian church in chapter 4, verses 8 to 11. We won't read the whole, but listen, "We're afflicted in every way, but we're not crushed. We're perplexed, but not driven to total despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying the body, the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our mortal life." You know, just even here, it seems a head to heart, even as we've been thinking about this and praying about this. There's a famous Christian leader and writer from over 100 years ago. He was a contemporary of D.L. Moody. His name was F.B. Meyer, and he taught, "It's no disgrace if anyone suffers as a Christian." And he writes this, whatever this means, the loss of businesses, reputation, home, desertion by parents or desertion by children, loss of friends, misrepresentation, hatred, and even death, all of this under the name of Christianity, in all of this, it's still possible to glorify God through all these trials as we trust in Christ.
And even as, you know, you share that, Walt, and those are powerful words from F.B. Meyer, but I just want to add on to that head to heart for our listening friends right now. What is your trial right now? Where do you feel like you're suffering? I mean, we could sit here, you and I, and probably for the next 10, 15 minutes, we could go down through our address list and we could name, you know, friends and family members that are facing difficult times right now. But then that thought that it is possible to glorify God in all these trials, that is a powerful statement. It is possible, not because of me, not because of anything in me, but rather because all things are possible through God, right? And as we walk through and as we sit and we wait for God to work through these difficult situations.
And Brenda, we were even talking about this is an anniversary. 11 years ago was when you found out that you had leukemia. And we didn't know how that path was going to get, how bad was it going to get, how fast, and what would happen. And we're so thankful for good medical professionals, and we're so thankful that relatively speaking, God's allowed you to continue to have a healthy, a productive life. But that's always kind of there in the background, knowing that's something that we can't fix.
Right. And so those situations, those trials in your life and in my life make a difference. And our question is, do we turn to the Lord? And so let's continue with verse 17, for it is time for judgment to begin with the household of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it is with difficulty that the righteous is saved, what will become of the godless man and the sinner? So here in verse 17, Peter, he gives a contrast between the suffering of God's people in this life to the suffering of the wicked in all of eternity. And what will that look like? And the horror of what eternity and that separation from God will be like compared to what we experience now. So this time is referred to as the dispensation of the church. This began back at Pentecost, and this will continue through to the rapture. The house of God refers to the church. And so the church is undergoing, as it is, a judgment in the unbelieving world. And I just even insert here this thought, Walt, you can interact with me a little bit on this, but that whole idea that even as we as believers go through suffering and hard times, we know that people who are unbelievers actually come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior because of God's working in us as believers.
Yeah, as they watch, hopefully we suffer differently than the pagans that are suffering because of the evil they've done. When we suffer and we suffer for righteousness' sake, there's people that watch and say, wait a minute, they're living life differently than we are. They have hope in the midst of their cancer diagnosis. They trust in God in the midst of struggles with their children or struggles with your parents or struggles with finances. We should struggle. We should suffer differently than the watching world. And that gives God an opportunity for us to have a testimony of the grace of God, the grace of the Spirit of God. And that grace is very important. You know, Brenda, we were talking earlier, I had a professor at seminary that says God will leave something in each of our lives that we cannot fix, no matter how hard we try. And that something will cause us to come to the Lord daily, seeking His strength, His endurance, and His grace. You know, for some it might be finances, and for some it might be health issues, and so for some it might be family and friends and kids. And But there's something in each of our lives that we can't fix that God wants us to bring to him and trust him with. And if we do that, God says the watching world will see and say, hey, that's different. Those people have something different in their life.
And as we leave just these couple of verses here, I want to give a couple cross references because that's the most exciting thing in when you're digging into God's word is you just realize it's such a tapestry. It's woven together and there are threads that weave through this entire scripture book from God. So we see in Luke 13:24, strive to enter through the narrow gate. It's not going to be easy. The gate's narrow, right? But strive, do what you need to do to walk where God wants you. And then over in Acts 14:22, we must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. Friends, it is filled with hard times. There will be tribulation. There will be suffering. But we can do that as we walk with the Lord.
And, you know, I think we have listeners from all over the world, which is we're so thankful for. But I would assume many of our listeners are from the United States of America. And we like to think once we come to Christ and once we give him our life and once he's our God and we're his followers, that he's going to make an easy path. And that's not what Scripture teaches. But it says that he'll be with us along any path he takes us. Well, as we conclude this chapter, verse 19 there says, therefore, when we're summarizing something, those also who suffer according to the will of God, in other words, they're not suffering for wickedness' sakes, they're suffering because they love Jesus and they have a testimony for him. They are entrusting their souls to a faithful creator in doing what is right. I love that aspect of the faithful creator. There's so many things we could say about God Almighty, but here it's that reminder. He created the heavens and the earth out of nothing. He formed man and breathed into him the breath of life. And you know what? He will do the same thing for us as we walk with him. Even if we die, we are not dead. And I love this wonderful hymn, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, written by a man who suffered for his faith, Martin Luther. He wrote these words, A mighty fortress is our God, our helper, he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. And then he says, did we in our own strength confide? Our striving would be losing. Were not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Let goods and kindreds go, this mortal life also. The body they may kill, we might suffer unto death, but God's truth abides still, his kingdom is forever. Father God, we even share those words of a man who suffered greatly, a man who you used mightily in the Reformation, a man who guided people to think about only by faith, only by Christ, and only by Scripture can we be saved. And so, Father, it's our prayer that you would help us to grow closer to you, that you would help us to grow more to the image and likeness of our Savior, Jesus Christ, that Spirit of God, a Spirit of the glorious God, that you would even work in us in the midst of suffering. And, Lord, that you would help us day by day, moment by moment, to walk well with you. We pray all of this in Christ's mighty name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this lesson from God's Word. Walk with God is part of the teaching ministry of Discover God's Truth. Visit our website at discovergodstruth.org. We appreciate the outreach ministry of theawakeningworldwide.com.